Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Infrastructure's Code podcast. I'm Ohad Meislisch, and today we have a great guest coming from the Linux Foundation CNCF, Taylor Dolezal. Hi, Taylor. Nice meeting you.
Howdy. Great to be here. Thank you so much, Ohad.
Great. So for those who don't know, Taylor, tell us about yourself and about what's going on in the CNCF.
Yeah. So I am head of ecosystem at the Cloud Native Computing Foundation, where our mission is to make cloud native ubiquitous. Now, I know that sounds a little bit general, but we truly seek to see all of these cloud native patterns and that ethos pervade just about everywhere. So love open source. I've worked in end user companies and other folks that have adopted these technologies over my career. So I truly feel like I'm at home at the CNCF, working with so many maintainers, community, and other folks within the ecosystem. In my role, I really focus on those end user adopters, folks like Apple, Intuit, Mercedes-Benz, Adobe, and so many others. We have over, I believe it's 750 members right now, 160, give or take, are end user members specifically.
Amazing. So let's learn what it means to be a project in the CNCF or in the Linux Foundation. So just a disclaimer, one of my roles is to be a sponsor with Envzero, the company that I work for, at a project named OpenTofu, which is the fork of HashiCorp's Terraform. And OpenTofu is a project within the Linux Foundation. And I see, you know, the things from the project perspective, not from the foundation perspective. So let's maybe shed some light for our audience. What does it mean to be a project, whether it's in the Linux Foundation or CNCF, and what is the governance? What is the technical steering committee? Can you share some key concepts on what it means to be a project in the CNCF or Linux Foundation, and how does it work?
Yeah, absolutely. There is something I learned in, I believe it was high school biology, and that was form dictates function, you know, kind of talking about the human body like a hand, you're able to use it and wield it in certain ways. Very much is the case with governance and how the structure of all of these things are set up. So to kind of zoom out a little bit, the Cloud Native Computing Foundation, or CNCF, is under the Linux Foundation as a sub-foundation. The Linux Foundation hosts a whole bunch of sub-foundations like FinOps, Finos, and several others, you know, OpenSearch, like we just saw recently, OpenTofu. And so the Linux Foundation, you know, holds and works with several different maintainers and groups of people when it comes to, you know, those logos, that IP, open source litigation, right? It's something that we don't typically hear too much about. Usually we're focused on what's going on in GitHub, but there's things happening in courtrooms and a lot of advocacy taking place outside of GitHub too. Licenses, all of these really, really fun things that you know, that's thriller novels and Netflix series definitely made about licenses and open source. Just joking. And when it's like, personally, I can't wait. I hope they do that someday, but when you take a look at the Linux Foundation, you see a lot of projects coming in there where they might be trying to shore up their community, or they have, to join the Linux Foundation or CNCF, there must be, you know, a good backing behind the project, the community, people that are that are there to do the work, right?
Yep.
Not all contributions need to be, you know, deep rewrites of things. It can be docs and these other things, but we truly need people there to be able to lead and make decisions on what's actually going into the project, what the roadmap looks like, those things. So when a project is still trying to make some decisions figure out its best paths, typically they'll go to the Linux Foundation and see, hey, is there a sub-foundation where this might make sense? Does it make sense to join right at the Linux Foundation and then make another decision down the road? Something like OpenTofu that was forked off of Terraform is a great example, because Terraform exists as infrastructure as code. So does OpenTofu, and it works really well within the Cloud Native Computing Foundation ecosystem. OpenTofu is not yet a project of the CNCF. I know that they've applied. And so when you zoom into the CNCF and how it works, it's comprised of three main pillars. There's our governing board, they oversee, you know, budget, direction, and just ratification of what our charter is as a foundation. We have the Technical Oversight Committee. These are individuals from the community that have been voted in or appointed based on their membership with the CNCF. And they're making decisions on which projects get in, as well as what levels that they move up to. CNCF has sandbox, incubating, and then graduated as the three tiers in that order as far as what projects can come in at. They come in as sandbox typically. There are cases where something might come in as incubating. I don't believe anything's come in as graduated, right? And then last but absolutely not least is our end user technical advisory board. We used to, the third pillar just used to be end users. And there really wasn't a way to tie efforts or like, hey, Taylor, can you connect me with someone? Now I'm pointing to the end user technical advisory board, or TAB. I know so many acronyms in alphabet soup. It's great to be able to have all of these different structures within the CNCF to help make decisions and inform our next steps as we work with the community. The TOC mostly focused on the technicals and projects and things of that nature and overall governance. And then the TAB is more focused on adoption, usability, and information sharing back to end users. So I'll put a pin in it there and then we can kind of jump around.
So let's say I'm a developer. Okay, and I see some great project that seems to be relevant for my work. And this project has also an open source license. So it looks great for me to use. Everybody in the company would be okay with that because it's open source. But this open source is currently vendor backed. So I might wonder where it's heading. What are the next few capabilities that are going to be added to this project, to this open source project? And obviously, as a vendor-backed project, there is this risk or concern that this project will evolve according to the needs of the company backing that project, which is great, but not necessarily what me as a user that only cares about the free open source part of this offering would like to see that it's heading. So that's the vendor-backed open sources. And in addition, there are the foundations-backed open sources. And I assume and I believe that their path, their future is tightly coupled with the requirements of the community and not with the requirements or the commercial reasons for one vendor or the other. So how does it happen? How do you at CNCF apply the relevant governance to make sure that for me as an end user, those concerns are properly handled and I can be rest assured that the projects within the Linux Foundation or CNCF are impartial and vendor neutral? How does it work in day to day? What do you do to govern that?
When it comes down to governance of projects, and then kind of that a great example that you gave, right? That's many people's day jobs, their experiences is working as developers or people within infrastructure, SRE, whatever their role is. It's great to be able to start your day, log in, go pull your dependencies and your packages and all of these things. And oh my gosh, they work, right? You don't have to think about spinning up CDNs or hosting, pulling from GitHub. Is GitHub up? All of these things are, when we remove little pieces from the ecosystem, we feel it. When it's working well, we don't, right? It's like electricity or the gas line or anything like that coming into your house. You just don't pay attention to it until it's broken, typically. Yep. Forgot to pay the bill, whoops, updated credit card, something like that. Very much is the case with open source. It's incredibly easy to create a project, push it up to GitHub, right? That's, yep. I wish it were as easy as that with open source. We're like, okay, we're done. You don't need to do marketing. You don't need to do outreach. You don't need to write docs. But the reality is you have to do all those things, right? So when it comes to open source projects and those which choose to apply and then get accepted into the CNCF, for example, We seek to make people who work on that those projects' jobs easier. When a project gets in at Sandbox, we have a whole bunch of project services that we have available to help out. Now, when a project is in Sandbox, it doesn't really get as much focus as when it becomes incubating or graduated, just because it's that Sandbox phase is really like training wheels, right? For both us and for that project. Like, does this make sense to stay here? Do we like all these things? Does this project have a future? Does it have, can we get the market share that we want within this project, you know, according to those maintainers, the people that created it in the first place? The CNCF offers a whole bunch of services, and we try to provide a good atmosphere for projects to be successful in. We don't guarantee that they're going to be like, you're going to be successful. You know, like that's not something that I'd argue is guaranteeable at all, right? It comes down to people, decisions, adoption. Like, there's a whole bunch of factors that go in there, but we seek to, it's the pursuit of happiness and success. So, you know, so some projects have come in and not understood that, unfortunately, and it's just come in a little bit turbulent until they were able to figure out what that forward direction was. So that's the one thing to definitely keep in mind. You know, I've like got a couple weekend projects. I'm like, donate to the CNCF. No. That doesn't make sense there. So when it comes to governance, we allow each of the projects to follow their own styles of governance too. There's some that are preferred and permitted and some that aren't, right? Like, nope, it's just me. I'm the only one working on this. That's not something that's going to scale if you take vacation or get a new job or, you know, life change happens necessarily.
Sure.
So we try to provide those services to projects to be able to be as successful as possible. When it comes down to your developer, you're trying to make sense of which project to use. I'm biased, you know, working for the foundation, but I'm going to say those hosted by foundations and even vendors can be really dependable. The problem that you run into if it's solely vendor hosted or if you are using a project that is kind of dominated out by one specific contributor, one concern that you that is reasonable there is, like you said, the company goes away, they shift focus, or they shut something down, or they change a license so that you can't use it in the way that you intended to. Always something to be mindful of. That's something that won't happen at the CNCF, and just because of the way the foundations run, the licensing, that ability to fork or break out of the project always exists too with an OSI approved license. That's like Apache 2. And several others there. I could talk for hours about licensing and things like that. I won't, but for this podcast, because we got limited time, but happy to chat with anyone, you know, after listening about these kinds of things. We've also seen too with like AI projects, MIT license and some things, there are some licenses that are a little bit too open, might make things hard for you as you go forward. They work great for open source, but again, depending on the nature of the project, that's something to take into consideration.
And if we zoom in on how it works, for those who don't know, each project has a like an official board of directors, and it's called the technical steering committee that is in charge of making the decisions for the project. Can you share more about what is the technical steering committee and how you govern the work of the technical steering committee?
Absolutely. So the projects themselves will have, again, looking at like the technical oversight committee or TOC, these are folks that were elected into their positions and appointed to make sense of the cloud native ecosystem. You know, if you've ever been to landscape.cncf.io, no, this is not an eye test. These are all of the projects that are you can filter, you know, within the database space or app definition and delivery. There's a whole bunch of projects in there, and it's not just the CNCF hosted ones. It's ones that work with different interfaces and specifications, these open source specifications that we have, like OCI, OSI, you know, how do you tap into container images and storage, network interfaces, etc. Again, it's all layers all the way down. So the TOC is available to help out, you know, when a project might say, hey, we want to have a security audit, or we saw this thing, or, hey, is this project alive? Is this abiding by best practices set out as kind of some core tenets for good governance of projects? Again, the CNCF doesn't say like, hey, you have to use this governance model. There are just ones that work better with the open source space than others. And so we have that anecdotal information. We have a whole bunch of data, and we regularly will survey, do outreach, and work with the community, all of which we publish that data to GitHub so that you can take that, drop some other conclusions, map data together. When it comes to the actual projects, at the end of the day, we want them to be successful and just focus on the project itself, make those business decisions, think about their roadmaps and things. It becomes really daunting and sometimes untenable when you have to, oh, we got emailed an injunction, or, hey, we saw someone is not using our logo or project or referencing this in good faith. How do we go about fixing that? That's where the TOC and the CNCF can step in. If there's code of conduct violations, all of these things, you know, the not so happy paths or the unknown unknowns, yep, is really where you get that benefit from a foundation. It's a good umbrella for what life has to throw at you.
Awesome. So let's maybe talk about, we've talked about the value and the processes and the insurance that comes with being involved with the Linux Foundation or CNCF. And if we zoom out and think about what happened in the last year, I think three very interesting things happened in the open source space. So obviously the first that I mentioned is the Terraform or the entire HashiCorp license change that affected the open source community, specifically with OpenTofu, that was announced as the keynote by the managing director of the Linux Foundation, like a big project and like 20-something thousand GitHub stars quite quickly. And it was a very meaningful response to a license change of a vendor. Now, a few months later, company Redis also changed their license, and a new fork named Valkey was created by very big vendors such as AWS, Oracle, Google, to name a few, and was immediately donated into the Linux Foundation as yet another project. And I'm not the expert of Valkey and Redis, but for my observation, it looks like huge success so far. And just recently, not just a project, but a whole new foundation within the Linux Foundation was announced when it comes to OpenSearch, which is the fork of a couple of Elastic projects. And it was originally just by AWS, but now it's also somehow within the Linux Foundation. Do you see some kind of trend or some kind of realization within the market of what's happening with open source, what's happening with vendors that make like a rug pull or change the license of a long existing open source project? Do you feel that the balance between just open source by vendors and open source by foundations is changing? What is your reaction to everything that's happening now?
It's something that I'm always curious about, right? I see these changes happening. The one with Terraform and that license change really, you know, blew my mind. That's where I had worked prior to the CNCF. And so I've used Terraform since it came out. I used Vagrant, you know, and think incredibly highly of everyone at HashiCorp and Mitchell Arman and all those teams. I used to work on the DevRel team. So seeing that, you know, I didn't get any heads ups or anything like that. No one did that was coming. And then it just kind of all hit us at one moment. And I truly think that when you look at vendors and what the expectation is of a vendor versus an end user, the tapestry that we weave together is truly, it's really varied and it's really interesting. When a project does that, it really impacts the users, right? Even when vendors try to make every consideration possible, there's going to be, you know, you can't ever hit 100% of the people 100% of the time. So the intent, I don't disagree with the intent from HashiCorp's point of view, right? They were trying to do what was best for them.
Of course.
they're growing a company, IPO, and then you're kind of forced to recoup on a lot of these things, especially when the market wasn't shaking out too well. So with all of these concerns, it made it really difficult for them to focus, I think, on some of their SaaS offerings and other things. And so they took a defensive measure. But that's when, you know, thinking critically, it really comes down to what is the goal of this project? Does it make sense to maybe utilize the open source community? Maybe, you know, had this license changed in a different way, a little bit more permissive, or you know, kind of rethinking about the composition of Terraform as a whole. This could have been very different too. There's, you know, shoulda, woulda, coulda, you know, I don't want to get into that, but I think the response by the community was really really heartening to see that, like, hey, we don't like this. We're going to fork this and we're going to continue on our own path. And then seeing all of the enhancements that OpenTofu, the community has brought on that front, some of which, you know, really like outstanding issues or pull requests or things that just didn't work with HashiCorp's version of that SaaS, was really inspiring to see. I think that competition is good for a project. And then, you know, in the past, I think one of the biggest forks that we saw was Node.js forking to App.js and then finally kind of merging the streams back together after some time and disagreements and talking. And that was enough to force a conversation, right? We haven't seen that happen with OpenTofu or Valky or, you know, OpenSearch and Elasticsearch, right? Those have just sort of remained as is. But I think that it's a good response for the community to be able to get as involved on that front, as well as take ownership of it too, right? Because again, it's easy enough to create some code, push it to GitHub. Same thing with hit that fork button on GitHub too. But to actually bolster the community, show the value, and then treat some of those problems that are actual ailments from community members, that is, I think that's beautiful. I think that that's the way that it should be. I think the same of vendors too, that if vendors aren't able to listen and implement quickly enough, you know, if there's community that is willing to do the work, that's the true decider, right? Especially with an open source. You can come and you can make issues all day, but if no one's there to do the work, is, you know, is what's the state of the project at the end of the day? So I think that it's really interesting and fun to see community jump in to be able to get in between that gap that they're experiencing and actually build a bridge with one another. I think that's beautiful.
Cool. And before we finish today's talk, just recently CNCF and Kubernetes celebrated 10 years. So first of all, mazel tov and congratulations. where do you imagine CNCF 10 years from today? What do you think is going to happen with this amazing foundation?
I'm really hoping that we don't add more to the cloud native this, that, you know, biz sec ops this, that, you know, I'm just joking, but I'm really, so some interesting things going on with AI, right? There's a lot of talk. There was a lot of talk earlier on in the year about, like, where does this project go? Again, Linux Foundation has many sub projects. We have PyTorch, we have LFNAI. There's many places where it really caused us internally to talk about, like, where are the boundaries, where are the lines on this front? And what we're seeing within the CNCF and the infrastructure space, you know, and we're not necessarily getting into, like, writing drivers and kernels and these other things within the CNCF specifically. So we don't really attach to hardware with Kubernetes, but we don't build that out. We're not making GPU chips or anything like that. But when it comes to standing up infrastructure and then running applications, we're seeing so many more developers enter the space, specifically around inference and some other things, but also some of the, you know, AI is inference and the really cool productized instantiations of AI, ML, and these batch workloads. And then we also have, you know, data classification and training and some of the other statistical-based things in preparing that data for all of these use cases. So AI spans this gamut, and we're seeing folks from both sides of those delineations come into the CNCF asking, you know, that we kind of want to see Kubernetes fade into the background and just be that consistent runtime for all of us as we're working with these workflows. So I think in the next 10 years, we're going to see a lot more app developers come in. I think that we're going to solidify a lot of these things like GitOps with Argo and Flux and OpenTelemetry and all of these other technologies where we see a backstage is these really high velocity projects. I think those are kind of taking, those are getting a lot of contributions within this space. Kubernetes is stabilizing and kind of like becoming that Linux of the data center. And so I think that we're going to see so many new problems get figured out within the foundation and across the ecosystem. As we harden and we come to identify a common language that we can all use between our teams, that's going to allow us to get more done together. It's going to add a little bit more complexity, but I do think that it's going to enable a lot more speed of development, and you can kind of align the speed of your thoughts with the speed of what you're able to create individually and as a team. And that is something I'm really excited for.
Awesome. I'm excited about it too. And again, seeing all of the progress in the last year and how many big projects finding it more natural to be part of that ecosystem, I think points to where things are heading going forward. Thank you so much, Taylor, for sharing the CNCF and the Linux Foundation story and how open source works at scale with those mature projects. And thanks, everybody, for listening today for another episode of the IEC podcast. And hope to see you next time. Bye, everybody.